Behind the Law, the official podcast of West Tigers. Well, g'day and welcome to episode 47 of Behind the Raw, the official podcast of West Tigers, where we give it to you straight and where we learn more about the people and the stories behind this great club. And Behind the Raw is proudly sponsored by PWA, that is Pro Wrestling Australia. Timmy Grant's our special guest. We'll talk more about him. You follow your wrestling at all?
When I was a kid, I did. I followed a little bit of WWE, but not since I've grown up.
You'd go all right in the ring, I think. I mean, you're still looking in good shape. Oh, they, Grayson Waller, he won SmackDown the Tag Team Championship. That was at WrestleMania 40, right? So he is, it all began for him with our sponsors, PWA. So he's on show on Friday. It's the spectacular Spiegelton at the Entertainment Quarter. So that's Friday the 19th. That's as they present Ringmasters. Head along if you want.
I'll Grassroots get you some Wrestling.
We can get along there. We've got some pull with PWA. All belts are on the line as well. So it's a really big show, isn't it? It's under the big top. If you don't want that, do you want some? You can get some tickets.
Yeah.
We'll talk to my people.
Yeah, yeah.
But if our listeners want some tickets, you have to fork out. They're not overly expensive. They're available now at austix.com.au. You just search Ringmasters. So being presented by Pro Wrestling Australia. Well, as I was just about to say, this week's guest, he's got a fair resume, hasn't he? He played 196 NRL games, two games for New South Wales for the Blues in, that was a 2012 Origin Series, 8 seasons with Penny Panthers, making his NRL debut with them in 2007, 1 season with the Bunnies. That didn't quite work out. Not quite sure why. I'll ask you about that. Then 3 seasons. So you went from the Bunnies to West Tigers. 3 seasons here. 46 games, it says you played. And then you went back to the Panthers for that last season where he hung up his boots midway through 2019. A very warm welcome again to Timmy Grant. Thanks for joining us, mate.
Thanks for having me, mate.
Hey, listen, you've been here now for back here as in your current role in the wellness space. Well, it's a bit over a year now. Would that be about right? How have you settled in? How are you enjoying
it? Yeah, so I was lucky enough to be part-time for pretty much the first year, 2 days a week, and then I've just come in full-time as of February. So it's been good. It's been good to get back. I feel like it's amongst my people. I spent 4 years away from the game. First 2 years sort of detached myself to figure out who I actually was other than just a footy player to explore my identity a little bit. And it was exciting at first, but when I walked back in here 2 days a week, it felt like I could breathe again and I was around my people, so to speak. And mate, I love, when I was working in the mines, I was working in the mines for 4 years. And
that was after you retired?
Yeah. And, I hated the thought of going back to work, and I can honestly say every day here I drive up the M4 and my brain's just working in overdrive about what we can do, what we can do better, and I feel like I've got a purpose.
We'll talk all about that in the middle chunk of the program, because I want to learn more about the wellness space and how it impacts performance, and if you struggled when you hung up your boots, as I think I'm hearing you may have through what you're just saying. I appreciate you jumping in. So how this works, I don't know if you've tuned into any of the...
I've subscribed, mate, don't worry.
Good.
Yeah.
If you want to subscribe, you know what to do. You just click on the bell icon down there and you'll never miss a beat, right? You'll get all the notifications. How this works then, we'll have a set of 6, so we're going to learn a bit more about you in the middle part of the program. We're going to talk about some footy, obviously, but more the connection, I think, between footy and well-being.
Yep.
Yeah. So I'll look forward to at the back end of the program with a couple of minutes. See the clock up there?
Yeah.
You're going to jump off the ropes, right? Turnbuckle time. Thanks to our sponsors, PWA. And we've got a quick quiz there. Top score is 25
Who
points.
Was it? Don't say Skendo.
Well, no, Joel Kane is there.
So he's a numbers man, but.
Yeah. But there have been some a few emails to BTR. And you can get across us on the Insta and the socials as well. We technically gave him points for a question and he didn't really get it.
Yeah.
So it could go down to a count back. Anyway, don't worry about that. We'll deal with that. Cross that bridge when we get to it. Before we dive into the opening set of 6, let's go through a bit of club news, and there's plenty happening as well. Obviously, it's a disappointing result against the Dragons last weekend at Campbelltown. Huge crowd, and it was great to see the place full of so many people. We looked a bit flat. Benji, you know, to quote him, he said it was probably the worst performance of the team this year. And I know that he also, you know, he wanted the team to sort of bring the crowd into the game, and probably didn't happen as often as we would have liked. There have been several changes made, though, for this weekend's game against the Panthers in Bathurst. Johnny Bateman comes back in. Samuel Fainu comes back in on the bench. Latu Fainu is back from that hamstring niggle. He's on the bench as well. And Lockie Galvin comes straight back in, and he'll wear the number 6. Also, Nato, great to see him back in the team. He had off-season surgery, a lot of surgery, actually, so he's worked his way back there against his former club. So I look forward to seeing Nato having a good clash this weekend in Bathurst. That's all at Carrington Park, by the way, and that was the scene of that epic victory last year, round 8, round 9, whatever it was, where it ended 7 straight losses. You were on board, were you, at that time, Timmy?
Yeah, I was. I was on board at part time, but I actually did a promo that night in Penrith with another former ex-Tiger, Malachi, and I actually backed us in as well. So I looked at it, the form in Bathurst, wet pitch, and I said to an old fellow, it was at a pub, and I said to an in Mount Druitt, and I said to an old fellow, I said, mate, we'll bring it home here. And our odds actually went up. So the price actually went up at halftime. We were ahead.
Yeah.
So I said, it's money for jam, mate. So
money for jam.
He's whacked 50 on it, and I think he got 400 back. So
it was one of those so almost where were you moments. It was just an epic victory. We were building to that, though. I think you meant a couple of weeks prior to that, I think we had a pretty good performance from the Eels, from memory. I'm not quite sure, but it was sort of building. Anyway, let's hope we can go there. We obviously like the venue. I don't know what the weather forecast is. This weekend also, our New South Wales Cup and Jersey Flag teams, they're both playing the Panthers at Bluebet Stadium. So that's on Saturday afternoon. Well, actually, the Flag kick off at 11:15. And then New South Wales Cup, the Maggies, they are playing at 1 p.m. So that's at Bluebet Stadium. Now, you're going to have to spread yourself pretty thin, because also on Saturday at Leichhardt Oval, we've got the semi-finals for our Harold Matthews, West Magpies Harold Matthews team. And our Lisa Fiola under-17s, the girls' team, they're in action as well. The Mats boys, they've gone through the whole season unbeaten, but they are yet to play Cronulla, who they play this weekend. And the Sharkies finished 4th on the ladder. As I say, the Lisa Fiola Cup girls, they're against the Illawarra Steelers, who lost just one game in the regular season, finishing 2nd on the ladder. We finished 5th, I think. The under-17s, a good win at Leichhardt last weekend. I popped in to see that against the Central Coast Roosters. So that match, the girls, that kicks off at 12:30 following the Harold Mats, which is at 11 a.m. at Leichhardt. So if you can, get on out there, get on and support both those under-17s at Leichhardt. And just a quick look ahead too, while we're at it, for next weekend, another big crowd is expected at Campbelltown Stadium, our 25th anniversary match against the Broncos. Wow, how things have flown. 24-all. Do you remember that very first game West Tigers played? A real special time of the year. It's the Anzac round, obviously, and an opportunity for all of us, I guess, to pay our respects to servicemen and women who have served and who are currently serving our country and New Zealand as well. So all three grades will be in action next weekend, the Flag, the Cup, and the NRL. So look forward to that. The Magpies play the Bears in the New South Wales Cup. That's a 3 o'clock kickoff. That's next weekend. And Jersey Flag, they're taking on Melbourne Storm. So that's Saturday, 27th of April. They take on the Storm at 1:20. Oh, 27th of April. It's a huge day. It's my daughter's birthday. Happy birthday, Matilda, for the 27th of April. All righty, Timmy, you ready to rock and roll? Ready to go?
Absolutely.
Okay, let's wind back the clock. It is Friday the 4th of May, 2007, you make your NRL debut off the bench for the Panthers. You're playing the Dragons at Cogra.
Yep. Oki.
Oki, Jubilee, yep. Cogra. Okay, if you say Oki. Referee, do you remember who that was?
Couldn't tell you.
Sean Hampstead. Yeah, I knew, didn't think you would. Sean Hampstead, and listen up, there is the whistle. We're underway. Righto. That day, your NRL debut.
Yep.
Do you remember much about it? How old were you?
18, 19, something like that. I remember parts of it. I remember how Matty Elliott told me. It was very formal. He pulled me into the we're in the gym and he just said, take a seat on the shoulder press. And he said I'd be making my debut. And mate, it was it's hard to describe that feeling, you know, as a kid. Just I used to go to Penrith Park and just watch in awe of the Panthers. I actually followed Newcastle as a kid, but Penrith was my team. It's where I grew up. And just from day one, Newcastle was my team, but Panthers were my club. And I just always wanted to wear that jersey. And to get the opportunity to do that, it was a boyhood dream for sure.
Mm. So you know exactly how these young kids feel now when we celebrate the debutants that have come through, and you know what they're going through, and that I imagine really helps in your role. Take us through your path to the NRL, then your junior footy, and when you started thinking, you know what, I'm pretty good at this game.
Yeah, I don't think I ever thought, gee, I'm pretty good at this game. It was more, I love this game and I love watching NRL. One day I'd love to be there. Probably wasn't as skillful as some guys in my team. You know, I played with guys like Michael Jennings since I was a kid. So he was in my team from...
What club was that?
St. Mary's, right through to NRL Origin, that sort of stuff. So I'd have a look around the room and probably didn't have the talent them guys had, but I knew that I love the game and I knew that I'd give it everything I had. And, you know, I was willing to go to places where some guys weren't. I just knew that would be my edge. So I didn't ever think, gee, I'm destined to be an NRL player. I was more how to get there. So
there must have become a point when you were in your teens, when you're making the rep teams, and then it must have suddenly dawned on you, well, you know what, I could perhaps take this seriously as a profession.
Yeah, I think my first Harold Matt season, 16, I left school 15, started plumbing apprenticeship.
Did you?
Yeah, and I was getting picked up at like 5:30 in the morning, and my boss at the time, I literally dig holes all day, and my boss was dropping me off at training, Harold Matt's training, and I was only a kid, I was 16, and I'd rock up with work boots on and, you know, that blue plumber's glue all over me and, you know, undoing sewer chokes and that sort of stuff. And I started doing all right, you know, all the fitness drills and that sort of stuff, and it was tough back then. The motto was, we'll train until we break you, and then whoever comes through will do all right, you know. And I just, you know, I was sort of midway of the pack, and then I was starting to be at the front of the pack in the fitness sort of stuff. And I don't know, I felt like maybe that is my angle, is just be tough and just relentless, you know, just hang in there and see what happens.
Well, it must have been tough. We're up to tackle three in the opening set of six, but just breaking away from that. Full day's work, young kid, 15, full day doing the plumbing and digging the holes. You must have been, I can imagine you're packing the sandwiches into you about 3 or 4 o'clock before training. Banana sandwiches.
Mate, it was a weird one because my boss and that, obviously I was only 15, 16, but, you know, tradies, they have the old long neck after they've been digging holes in that. So, mate, I was just thinking, oh, I won't be doing that, and then running hills at Hickey's Lane. I won't be doing that. But
well, you could.
You know, I probably had pack-a-day smokes from passive smoking back then. But, it was just... That's how it was. I didn't know any difference. That was sweet.
Hard work. Timmy, after retirement, I touched on it earlier, how did you adjust to the real world?
Yeah, well, if anyone talks to me about the real world and, you know, when you're playing footy, they're like, oh, wait until you're in the real world, you'll get a dose of reality, all that sort of stuff. I'm not saying it like the real world's not tough, because I know how the economy and that sort of stuff is. There's some families that work really hard and they're doing it tough, but for me, the real world's a lot easier than the rugby league world. And that's from all sorts of things, pressure, internal pressure. And when I talk internal pressure, it's the pressure in your own head that you put on yourself, the expectations that you put on yourself. And then you've got, you know, in normal jobs, you get biannual reviews and that sort of stuff. These guys get, you know, reviewed every single day, nearly every single tackle, everything they do. So for me, the real world, so to speak, was a lot easier. With that comes a lot of other things about identity and lack of purpose, and you start to question things a bit. Yeah.
When did you find yourself entering the well-being space and into the line of work you're in now?
Yeah, well, it was I guess it was just from the processes that go on within the game. So I finished up at Penrith, and Kevvy Kingston, shout out to him, he was my captain back in the day, and we kept in contact. And a part of the NRL protocol is whoever finishes at the club, the wellbeing manager stays in contact. And now we've got the RLPA that do that through the transition groups, Joey Nullivan and the boys. But I just caught up with a coffee with Kevvy Kingston, and he goes, "Where are you at?" And we'll chat, and he goes, "Mate, I think you'd be really good in the wellbeing space." And so I just signed up to do this course. I didn't think much of it. And, I was a bit inhibited to do a bit of study, to be honest, because unfortunately I hadn't picked up a pen and paper or laptop or anything for the last nearly 15 years. So there was that hurdle to overcome, but I wanted different than what the situation I was in. So I started doing an online course in elite athlete wellbeing. And then the more I did it, the more I found a bit of passion for it and sort of wanted to give back. My way of giving back was to sort of pass on my experiences of, you know, I've had some great experiences in the game. I've had some great opportunities with the money I've earned. And the flip side of that was there's a few mistakes that I made, both with how I reacted to things and probably investments at some times where, you know, I could have done a little bit better and that sort of stuff. So for me to give back now is, I'm not a Benji Marshall or Robbie Farrar or guys like that where they can sit down and coach someone on how to play the game. I can just pass on my knowledge and experiences from myself, what I learned and what I would have done better, or from the guys around me that I've seen. I've seen some horror stories and I've seen some huge success stories as well. So that's my way of giving back now.
I like it. Away from footy. Now, I don't know you well. I hear that you're – what else? You're a bit of a green thumb?
Yeah, mate, that's my out. So I pretend
that... pruning roses, what are we doing?
Oh, mate, I'm into the hedges, lawns, all that sort of stuff. So I actually, my partner, she's the best. She keeps the house inside nice and tidy. So
you do outside?
Yeah, but I play on that. It's a bit of a job and that, but that's my game of golf. So I love just mowing the lawns and doing the hedges and that sort of stuff, mate. I just love tinkering around the backyard and... Mate, that's I'm happy.
Do the lawns, like Augusta or what?
Oh, they're, it's soft leaf buffalo, so it's not nice. not quite a green, but
listen to you.
Yeah,
the old soft leaf buffalo.
I do my best. I'm a bit of a hack, but I do my best.
Yeah, nice. All right, well, last Hampstead's got the finger in the air. Bit about your family life. Tell us a bit more about that.
Yeah, so older brother, 2 years older.
He played footy, did he?
He did, but. He took the other fork in the road, you know. He liked a beer and a party and that sort of stuff. And I guess for me, I wanted to take it serious. And he just played footy for why we all first start, right?
He's yeah.
just hang around your mates, have a good time. But he's gone down other avenues and he's done all right for himself. So he was a decent footy player actually, but didn't really have that next level in him, or he just didn't want to commit that next level. But mate, grew up in a footy-loving family. My mum and dad, we always – Origin was bigger than Christmas at my house, so we'd all sit around the TV and, mate, we'd be praying for fights and that sort of stuff back in the days when you could do that. And it's funny because you hear now, it's like, oh, you know, mums don't want to see that for their kids and that. My mum was there, like, egging it on. So staunch footy family. My grandma used to – she was a nurse and my dad played bush footy and she would stitch the boys up after the game and that. No local anaesthetic and that sort of stuff. So it is just – it runs through our blood, yeah.
God. A bit like Rambo, first blood. Stitched himself up, didn't he?
Bit different back then, yeah.
But what about that? So you're watching with your grandma and the whole family watching Origin back in the day. You're only a kid, and who would have known you'd be out there playing Origin at some point in time? We'll chat about your Origin.
Yeah.
Well, that is, Timmy, that's the opening set of six.
Too easy.
Jeez, you're a long
got
one.
Through it.
Yeah, long one, wasn't it?
Super, okay. Super set.
How's the heart rate?
Nuts.
Good.
You ain't seen nothing like this.
Pro Wrestling Australia presents Ringmasters at the Sydney Spiegelton, Friday, April 19. Tickets available now on OzTix. PWA Ringmasters. This ain't no three-ring circus.
Well, let's talk a bit of footy, right? And again, well-being, because I find it fascinating. And I hope our listeners, viewers get a real insight. It's so important, and we'll touch on that in a moment, right? Because you see it day in, day out.
Absolutely.
How you can help people.
Yep.
Through your experiences, yeah? Just on footy though, back to the Dragons game at Campbelltown. The joints heaving. The team looked flat. Did you notice it sort of from the outset? When did you sort of say, hang on, I don't think they're on?
I didn't really you know, I look at it from an optimistic lens. If the boys are so-called flat, I might see that as the boys are calm, they're confident, like we're doing all right here. But yeah, it wasn't our best performance, but I still look at it from where we've come from and where we want to head as a club. I still see massive wins in that game through just reflecting back on attitude, and I don't think we've ever given up. Like, and on the weekend, I don't think there was a give up. And there's been times where we probably would have queuing the rack, like
last year.
Yeah, and probably if we had it as unlimited time, you know, I think you know we would have still kept punching, and we could have come home. You know, I think the Dragons would have been worried there for a little bit. We didn't play our best footy, but we didn't give up, and right to the end, the boys were still in there. So if you look at it, you know, I'm a part of the club, but I'm also a fan as well. So I look at it and think, gee, we didn't get the 2 points. Where do we sit on the table and this and that? But the long-term view of where we want to head as this club, I think there was still wins in that for us, the small little wins that we have to take on board, but we want to win now as well.
Oh, no way. Yeah, like I just think that compared to the other games, just there didn't appear to be that energy that I've seen so far. This team will never give up, mate.
Yeah.
They will never give up. I think we know that, right? But anyway, that was them.
And that feeling, I think that feeling is great because that goes to show that there's a new level of higher standard within the club. If we were disappointed and we were still hanging in there, and that's the bar's been risen, and that's a positive.
Yeah, yeah. Tell us a bit more about your role then. Your day to day role here. What's it entail as? I don't know, even sure what's on the business card. Is it a head of wellbeing? Well, you are. You're right on the wellbeing department.
Yeah, mate. It can be from anything to guys rocking in here. It's very, very based off rapport. You know, it's about building trust and respect. And I just want to be that guy that the boys know they can call anytime. I don't care if you call me at 2 a.m. and you need something, I'll answer it. And if I don't know, if I haven't got the professional skills to help you, I'll point you in the right direction. But I want the guys and anyone within this building to feel safe enough to have trust in me that, one, what they tell me is confidential or the help they need, and two, we get them the help that they need. And that might be, gee, I'm not sleeping right because, you know, my kids have been up all night and they're crook or whatever, or it might be beyond that, like there's been some stories, and not just in this club but across the game where, you know, they need professional help. That's great, we've got avenues to help them with that. But a lot of guys in footy, you grow up as tough people, and we're breaking that stigma down through society's actually breaking it down. But back in the day, you'd just be like, get on with it until it's too much, where now the NRL's invested a lot of money into it, the RLPA, and it's actually something the players have wanted, this space, and we've got that many resources to help them. But not many players and society won't go and knock on a psychologist's door or a sleep specialist's door, but they'll go to someone that they can, you know, respect and trust, have a conversation, and then I can say, oh, have you thought about this? Or and just guide them in that spot. And sometimes, a lot of the time, it's not even send them on to a professional. Sometimes they just need to have a chat. And that's where I say to the boys, don't ever be hesitant on telling me something, because if I haven't done it myself, I've heard someone that's done it or seen it through teammates and that, you know, like spent a long time in the game and I've ridden the roller coaster. And to be honest, it's there's probably more times digging yourself out and showing, you know, coming back from adversity than the good times. You know, some players have great runs where they just, they're winning all the time and everything's great and they hardly get injured. But then there's other guys that, you got to have resolve and dig yourself out a lot of the time. And how do you do that? We all need support, and just having someone there that they can lean on, that's what's important to me.
In a nutshell, Timmy, how important is mental well-being in terms of its impact on player performance, do you think?
Yeah, well, it's, you know, there's holistically, there's like 9 dimensions of well-being, but there's, in my view, there's no such thing as like, oh, your your mental health. Like everyone's got mental health. You could be, you know, thriving and everything's great, and then you might be, you know, need a bit of help. And it works a bit like the traffic light system. That's how the mental health continuum works. But that can change daily. It can change hourly, like the depths of it, you know. And then some things where it might have impact on your family, and that's when you really worry about it. But things like getting dropped or losing games or bad reviews, and that happens daily. So being able to be aware of your emotions and your feelings and being able to either deal with them or talk about it, get help and share and converse in them sort of feelings, it's so important, because there's actually been studies, and the NRL have invested so much money into studies around like work-life balance of in getting an identity outside of rugby league. So we've got guys that do a lot of study. Brent Naden, actually, he's back this week, but he's been spending time on an excavator, and the company that are putting him through his license has actually rang me and said, mate, he's actually a natural, he's killing it. So on his days off,
hasn't sapped his energy.
Mate, he's got plenty of that. But on his days off, he's been learning how to use it, you know, heavy machinery, excavators and trucks and all sorts of things. And then we've got other guys that, you know, are in university degrees, and there's some guys that seek mentors and sort of working backwards of career exploration and that. So, mate, there's so many.
Well, that never happened 20 years ago, right? You finish your football and then you suddenly thought, shit, well,
yeah.
What do I do now? But now it's a prerequisite, right? The NRL is very big on making sure these guys have not a plan B, but a plan P post-footy.
Yeah, and it's one of them things that a lot of the time we don't get to finish on our own terms or say, you know, I've had enough. It usually comes from lack of opportunity. You run out of opportunity, injuries, so many different factors where if we've built a few things along the way, you're better placed to transition than what you would have been if you'd done nothing. And it's one of those things, it's like society think, oh, once you've made it to the NRL, you're set for life. You know, probably, I don't know the exact number, but it would be lower than 5%, you know, by the time you pay your taxes, pay management fees and your own super and that sort of stuff. And then, you know, you buy a nice house and you're paying your interest and that, like it you still got to work after it. The bills keep coming in. And I say to the players, it doesn't matter if you're on a, you know, $100,000 or $1 million, money's one thing, but also education's a currency. And the only thing that the currency gives you is options. So when you're retired, do you want to have to go do something you hate, or do you want that flexibility of doing something you love? And that's the difference for me. So that's soft landing post footy.
That's good advice, Timmy. We've got a really young squad, and I would hazard a guess. I should have these stats. I reckon we've got the youngest squad in the NRL. There you go.
Yeah, it'd be very close to it. Yeah.
How, and these young kids, some of them, a lot of them, in fact, are fresh out of school.
Yeah.
They just started shaving, some of them. And suddenly they got more money in their pocket than they've ever had.
Yep.
It's a whole transition for them, isn't it? This new way of life.
Yeah, it is. And, you know, rugby league, the beautiful thing about rugby league is we're a blue collar game. So a lot of these guys, they might be the first person in their family to go and get a mortgage and buy a house or this sort of stuff, you know. I'm not saying that everyone's like that, but there's such a broad demographic.
Well, I think Sam Weller and Latu just bought their parents a house last weekend or a couple of weekends ago.
Yeah, and that's a massive thing for them boys, you know. It's such a win for us, not just as a club and as a team, but as a game. Like that's amazing, and that's credit to them guys as well. And now there's a lot of hard work between now and when they finish playing, so they can set themselves up to, one, you know, provide for their family, but also provide for themselves as well.
I imagine all players are I know all players are different and they react differently. You probably see some players might need a shoulder to lean on from time to time. Others might be, you know, probably a bit like myself. No, I'm all right. I'm just, you know, doing my own thing. But, and some of the issues that might impact on performance, like it might just be some having issues away from footy.
Yep.
Might be having problems with their partner, maybe.
Yeah. You
know, disagreements, financial problems or whatever. Then there's the injury side of things. And I can't imagine what Adam Dewey has gone through in the last few years.
Yeah.
So it's almost a one-stop shop. Do you sort of know when to maybe approach one of the players and say, listen, Wait, come over chat, or do you wait for them to come to you?
I like to build it off rapport and getting to know the boys. Mm. You know, like there's signs of if you need to check in, that's for sure. But it just depends, and you got to know your players, and it's got to be built off respect, rapport, honesty. There's so many things that it takes time to build, right? But you know, we've got a great squad here that are very engaged in the wellbeing space, and for me, it's made my job a lot easier. But in saying that, I don't like meetings and saying, oh, you got to come see me and this and that. I just like to do it organically and share stories and just be there for support.
I tell you what, they are a really happy bunch. And you know, I've been around footy clubs for donkey's years. They are a really happy and they seem really connected.
Yeah. And you
and
know
a lot
what?
Of that, I think, is down to the senior coaches leading them as well.
Yeah, and hats off to the boys and the coaching staff as well. Everyone in the organisation, we've been for a little bit and I was here around last year, but I never walked through the door and it was like you're an attending a wake or something like that. There was always optimism and the boys were always working hard. You'd come upstairs and all the staff were working hard. There is a great feel in the place, so we'll keep working hard, and when the day comes where we get the fruits of the labour, it's going to be very sweet. And that's for the fans as well. They've been around a long time and there's been a great culture, to be honest, that's for sure.
Mm. And obviously it's confidential, you know, what you do, and I don't want you to mention any players' names here, but has there been a player, let's call him Player X, shall we?
Yep.
That has benefited from your advice, your support, and you've seen him go on to achieve things that maybe he wouldn't have achieved had he have not, I don't know, opened up to you?
Yeah, I wouldn't sit here and say I've claimed something like that.
I'm not asking you to blow your own trumpet, but you know you've impacted positively.
Yeah, absolutely. So instead of just saying like a player X or whatever has benefited from it, I'd like to like revert back to, I know stories of guys that have, you know, had literally millions of dollars throughout their career and left with nothing. And then I've known guys that have sort of been that middle tier and just the sort of a journeyman that have finished their careers and gone into post-career, and that was actually better than that's better work. They're doing better work now than what they actually had in their career. So it goes both ways. I've seen some horror stories where that's what we're trying to catch now before we go into it. You know, I've had teammates that have sort of passed away past footy that I've played with, and that's always in the back of my mind. So instead of having stories where I've helped them, I just try and build them little blocks, education. So, you know, we play for 10 years and then 30 years post. So just making that transition a bit softer is what's in the back of my mind, instead of saying, oh, you know, I've really had an impact on that guy. Because that could be a tiny little thing that you never see or hear. It's just, you know, that they're in a better space, you know. But mate, I'm really passionate about this space because, like I said, I've had teammates that have passed away post footy. I've had stories where guys have struggled after footy with gambling, or I'd hate to see the divorce rates after footy. And that, you know, it's easy for society and that to say, oh yeah, it's easy. You know, the fame of that's gone, the money's gone, the mistress takes off. But it's not that. It's the fact that their partner used to be driven, used to be happy. All these things, you know, present really like a role model, and then all of a sudden they're grieving. They're literally grieving from their career, and then they're different. They're probably feeling a bit depressed, get angry, you know. And we always try and look for that thrill of what we had playing footy, chasing that adrenaline and that dopamine. So then when you're not getting it, things like, you know, drinking, gambling, you know, all them sorts of things start to – that's where you get your thrill from, and it's a bit of a slippery slide, you know. So there's so many things that can impact that. But one thing I've learned a lot is the NRL do put a lot of resources into it, which is great. And I've spent a lot of time looking into other sports, both in Australia and the US.
How do we compare?
I can strongly say, hand on my heart, and this isn't being biased, that world leaders, NRL are, like, the resources and that they're putting in, unbelievable. And we're still trying to get better and better at that space. One thing about the wellbeing space is I could walk in to, say, Parramatta with Dave Gower tomorrow and there wouldn't be any questions about why I'm there. It's like, it's sort of, and vice versa, if well-being staff walk through here from another club, no one questioned it. Whereas if it was a defensive coach or something, you'd be saying, well, what are they doing there? So across the game, we do have the player in mind and the outcome is what we want. We have them in mind. So we, as a collective, we all share ideas and it's a really good space. And I think we're leading the way in that.
You're doing a great job, mate. And I hope it's really, it's, you could talk all day about it. It is really interesting. And you, as you said earlier, I think you touched on, you feel like back here, you really have a purpose.
Yeah, mate. Yeah. I love it. And I love the club as well. I was fortunate enough to play here. And, mate, when I walked in, I'll be honest, it probably wasn't the prettiest place. And, I was like, what am I doing? You know, just the facilities and that sort of stuff. But the people really made me feel welcome. And it's the same today. It's a great club full of great people and we're heading in a good direction.
Well, forget the centre of excellence. The greatest assets are
people.
The people.
Yeah.
You mentioned you'll be on the phone. You'll take 2 a.m. phone calls. Does that apply to me if I, you know, sometimes I hike the Uber prices at 2 a.m. Like if I'm out.
No. So
come and get me.
I do have a list of who can call through my Do Not Disturb, Chris. So you get one chance at it too. So like if the boys want to play jokes and that, they can, but they probably have to ring Benji after that. So.
Okay. All right. Hey, you know what time it is?
Turnbuckle time.
It is turnbuckle time, my friend. Righto. We're going to throw you off the top ropes, okay? Let's throw some questions, quick fire questions at you. Top score. Yep. So it's 6 questions, 4 points each. 6 fours are?
What do you mean?
6 times 4. Is? No good.
Is this a question? Wait, hang on.
6 fours are 24, right?
Yeah.
Plus the one bonus point 24. Is 25 is your maximum score.
I thought you said 24 and then you're coming up with 24.
Yeah. Well, you're listening. Right.
Let's go.
So 25 max score. Yeah. Okay. You ready?
Let's go.
Okay. You ain't seen nothing
like this. Pro Wrestling Australia presents Ringmasters at the Sydney Spiegelton, Friday, April 19. Tickets available now on OzTix. PWA Ringmasters. This ain't no 3-ring circus.
Question one, your NRL debut in 2007, it was against the Dragons. You lost. Do you know the score?
From memory, it was 28-16, Dragons.
Correct.
Yes.
Keep score. Yes. 4 points. In that game, can you name the Panthers teammate who played for the Broncos in our very first game as a club in 2000?
The great man, Clive Loupe-Brittis.
Boom. Yeah. Correct.
Yeah.
Clive
Churchill medal.
Yes. Well done.
Absolutely.
Question three. Also in that game,
yes.
Your debut, there was a Panthers teammate who made his NRL debut with West Tigers in 2001. A Panthers teammate in that game, your debut, who made his NRL debut with this club in 2001. You want a clue?
Wasn't Sparky, was it? Marco Halloran?
Correct. Yes. Boom. 12 points. Question four. Your State of Origin debut. So 2012, game 2, ANZ Stadium, right? Robbie Farah was your hooker.
Yep.
You beat Queensland. What was the score? Come on, Timmy.
18-12.
So bloody close.
16-12.
Yes.
16-12.
You giving him that? Half. Give him 2. So what's he on? 14. 4-3 is 12 plus 2, 14. Question 5. Good thing someone's good at maths around here. Your final NRL game, Panthers, round 12, 2019. Yeah?
Yep.
You went out a winner. You beat Manly, 15 points to 12.
Yes.
Which teammate in that game is playing for West Tigers this weekend? Your final game for the Panthers.
Final game for the Panthers.
Round 12, 2019.
Brent Naden.
Boom. Yeah, correct.
It is.
Brent Naden.
Yeah.
Where are we up to? 18. Going good. Question 6. Who's the only member of the coaching staff here at West Tigers who you have not played with?
Okay.
Sorry, Benji. Oh, hang on, I don't know. Yep. I won't get involved.
Played with Benj, played with Robbie, played one game with Hino. Bomber. Vaughan Morris didn't play with Vaughan.
Correct.
Played with Simon Dwyer.
Yes. So add four. You're on 22.
And a half.
No, we gave you 2 points earlier. But you got a bonus point question now. Yes. So you can get 23, which if we take some points off Joel Kane, you still could be right up at the top of the ladder leaderboard. So for your bonus point, Timmy, how's that clock going? Righto. Which Panthers teammate in your final game, when you made your last game, which Panthers teammate is playing his last season with the Panthers this year?
James Fisher-Harris, as of today.
Wow. This is true.
Controversial, is it?
It's true. No, that news has only been breaking when we recorded this potty. And the great, you're right.
The great Jerome Luai.
Boom. Jerome Luai was the one I had. There you go. Jerome Luai and James Fisher-Harris.
I should get an extra half point for
that. You're getting 2 points for that.
Yes, thank you.
You are now on 24, I think it is. Hey, you've done well. Well done, thank you.
Yeah. Well done.
Thank you.
For a bloke that left school at 15 and was on the pick and shovel, digging holes. Timmy, thanks very much for joining us, mate.
Thank you.
Really enjoyed the chat. I hope you guys did it at home as well. We'll do it all again next week. A huge weekend this weekend for our Harold Matts in West Magpies, Lisa Fiola as well. Flegg and Cup, they're playing at Bluebet Stadium. Our boys, as we know, at Carrington Park on Saturday. All the best to all you guys. And then fast forward, our next home game, of course, that 25th anniversary match on Anzac Round against the Broncos at Campbelltown Stadium. So lots for us all to look forward to. Again, Timmy Grant, thanks very much for jumping on. And we'll do it all again next week right here on Behind the Raw.
Behind the Raw, the official podcast of West Tigers.